The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do, Jalen?
We give the people what they want.
We have some indication as to Le'Veon Bell's future. We have a huge matchup between the Browns and Steelers, and we have the future of Anthony Davis's career mapped out. But we start with LeBron James, as the world debates who is the GOAT, MJ or LeBron. LeBron took to his Instagram stories and posted this. The fact that he is watching The Last Dance. Jalen, what message is he trying to send by posting The Last Dance while we all debate who the GOAT is?
See, unfortunately for me, I was actually on that Indiana team in 1998 that Michael Jordan advanced by. I actually made a jump shot in that documentary. I actually did an interview in that documentary. You know what else I did? I did a GOAT comparisons list on this program yesterday. LeBron is a student of the game, Jacoby. Mm-hmm. And when he told Rachel Nichols to let us do the debate, he knew once he got his fourth championship and his fourth finals MVP that he had a little more work to do. And that's why he's studying the GOAT. Michael, Jeffrey, Air Jordan, because LeBron knows with the younger AD, they have a chance to get a couple of more. That yep. Now closes the gap between him and MJ.
It absolutely does. And LeBron has showed his hand twice. Once off wax when he was teaching children, he said that he's chasing the ghost in Chicago. So he's acknowledging the fact that he is trying to catch up with MJ. And then after he won the championship with Cleveland over the 73-win Warriors, he said on the shop, on wax, on camera, he said that championship made him the greatest of all time. So he can act like he doesn't care about these debates. It's for us to decide. But he knows that he is very much a part of this and that it is now neck and neck of who the greatest of all time is. But to take to Instagram stories and to show that you're watching The Last Dance, The Last Dance didn't come out in the bubble. The Last Dance has been out before the bubble. To do that sends a message and further stokes the flame. He acts like he's not interested in this conversation, but he is fueling this fire. Why do you think he is making us talk about this?
And it's your opinion that he's second in the GOAT race. I still have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Russell ahead of LeBron James. Winning this championship, I had him eclipsing Magic Johnson. He's a student of the game, Jacoby. He's immersed in understanding the legacy of all of these all-time great players. And he knows to get into that pantheon, he has a few more things to accomplish. So I appreciated him being a student of the game, getting back in the lab.
Absolutely. And anyone that has seen The Last Dance knows it's a great way to kill time. Look at Michael Jordan here. Like, you talked about his grace yesterday. Jalen, what was it like to face off against the GOAT?
See, the one thing about MJ, and I got to make sure, The Last Dance showed his tenacity and his killer instinct and his ability to be clutch when other people shrink under pressure. But you're watching the most elegant and graceful basketball player to ever do it. That's why we're still wearing his shoes 20, 25 years later. That's why his bald head, his trademark tongue wag is iconic. When the last time you seen somebody play with their tongue out, Jacoby? When was the last time you seen that happen?
Never. I've never seen
that. I was standing in front of this dude, and I was like, you know what? I might swat at his tongue. I thought about it for a second. I was like, is that nasty? Is that defense? Or is that just weird? And then I realized he flicked out his tongue, and he put it back in so fast. It's quicker than his first step. And that dude, dog, every area of the floor, from three, the post, with his back to the basket, steal the ball from you, offside D. Look at his final play as a member of the Chicago Bulls. Stole the ball from Karl Malone, goes coast to coast, isolates, crosses over Byron Russell, makes the game-winning walk-off shot. That's what LeBron is watching, because that's what I wanted to see in game five. So the King getting ready for next year, that's why he's watching.
That's why he is watching. And Jalen, one of my favorite things about you is you actually checked into a basketball game thinking to yourself that you were going to stop Michael Jordan from scoring. God bless your confidence, Jalen Rose. Moving on to the NFL, we have no Thursday Night Football, but we have a huge game this weekend between the Steelers and the Browns. And Kareem Hunt, in front of this matchup, said that this one is for Miles. This one is for Cleveland Browns fans. Jalen, the Browns have a pivotal game against the Steelers. This is if we find out if they are for real. What do you expect to see on Sunday?
Every time the Steelers come up, remind me to ask the question, when is Mike Tomlin going to get one of those contracts that the head coach in Carolina got? That's first and foremost. Second, as I look deeper into the Browns team and the construction of it, Jacoby, the strength of their roster, in a lot of ways, is their offensive and defensive lines. It's not beautiful to watch, but they're pushing people off the football. And when Chubb was playing along with Hunt, they was running all over whoever was in front of them. And then all of a sudden, you get reverses for Odell Beckham, and you unlock all of the weapons that you have. And so don't be surprised, Jacoby, if they're hovering 10-win team. And I know so many people that love the Browns, including B-Lo, that's going to be watching this show, that work for our network, that's going to be surprised that I'm saying a team with Baker Mayfield under center is going to win 10 games possibly this year. But looking at their schedule, I've figured something out about this squad and watching them play, in particular since Odell and Mayfield got there. They're a squad that does a great job of front running. And so, because they're a lot more talented than the people that they face. And if you look at that schedule, I see the Jaguars, I see the Giants, I see the Jets. Those chances to get dubs. And so, don't be surprised if Cleveland outplays expectations this season like people anticipated they should have when they first put this group together.
Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham and the stars they have on offense get so much attention, but I want to give some flowers to that man, Myles Garrett, who Kareem Hunt is talking about. He is number two in double teams, number two in sacks in the league, and number one with 23 pressures this season so far. Myles Garrett is in the kitchen of every quarterback that he plays. He is truly living up to those expectations that he had coming out of the draft. If you're watching the Browns and you're not paying attention to Myles Garrett, then you are missing out. Only J.J. Watt gets double teamed as a defensive end more than him. Jalen, we have a guest on the program today. We're going to be joined by a man who can see the future, a true real-life oracle. Rose Stradamus joins the program. I want to thank Rose Stradamus for coming through, because what Rose Stradamus has the ability to do is to see things before they happen. He can forecast the future, and Rose Stradamus has set his sights, his seeing powers, on a gentleman by the name of Anthony Davis. Rose Stradamus, what do you see in the future for Anthony Davis?
Anthony Davis, a champion, a terrific athletic performer, a guy that's going to hover around 30 points and 12 rebounds, a couple of blocks, a couple of steals. Gets a chance not only to defend his back-to-back championship, but gets a chance to play as long as LeBron is playing at an MVP level. So he's going to sign short deals, Jacoby, just like LeBron was doing earlier in his career. And he has Rich Paul, the perfect person to navigate this. Sign a 2-1, sign a 1-1. And then when it's time for LeBron James to ride off into the sunset, and or when Bronny gets to the league, Anthony Davis is going to go home. And he's going to try to deliver a championship to his hometown like LeBron wanted to do in Cleveland.
Interesting. So you have Anthony Davis joining the Chicago Bulls later in his career. Is that correct, Rose Stradamus?
Yes, that's what I'm saying, sir. That's what I'm saying. As somebody that's been on Michigan Avenue and eaten a lot of Garrett's popcorn and gone to Gibson's where the gentleman remembers my order and there's 25 of us at a table and doing so many amazing things on Rush Street, yes, Anthony Davis would love to go home and try to deliver a championship to a Chicago Bulls.
Rose Stradamus, normally I like to disagree with you, but I love what you're doing here because there's a symmetry between LeBron's career and Anthony Davis's career. Anthony Davis starts with the Pelicans, goes 7 years with the Pelicans, says, this isn't going to work. I'm going to go to a place where I can win a championship. Doesn't that sound familiar? That's right. LeBron James started in Cleveland, went 7 years, decided he needed to go somewhere to win a championship, goes to Miami, wins a championship or two, like Anthony Davis may, and then decides, you know what? I'm going to go to my hometown and try to bring a championship there. So he goes back to Cleveland. That's exactly what Roger Thomas is predicting Anthony Davis to do. And I feel like if I'm Rich Paul, and that is the plan, you can just say, look at LeBron's career. Would you like this? And Anthony Davis, if I'm him, I say, yes, Mr. Paul, I absolutely would. Roger Thomas, I love your prediction. You're making a lot of people in Chicago happy because I would love to see Anthony Davis team up with my guy, Jacoby White, in the red and black with the Bulls. Now, Jalen, from the Bulls, we have to go to another marquee franchise, and I can't believe I'm saying this. Ian Begley of SNY is saying that the New York Knickerbockers could be interested in trading for Russell Westbrook if he becomes available from the Rockets. I think this is an absolutely, positively terrible trash idea. What do you think of the idea of the Knicks trading for Russell Westbrook?
Whoa. You think what is a trash idea?
Trading for Russell Westbrook. Trading for Russell Westbrook as the Knicks. The Knicks do not need to trade future assets for a superstar. The Knicks need to rebuild like every other franchise in the NBA needs to. What they don't need to do is leverage their future to become a 7th seed in the East and lose in the first round with Russell Westbrook. They do not need to do that. People will be going to MSG regardless. Please take a... Take advice of every single team in the NBA. Do not trade for a superstar if you are the Knicks. Build and draft and develop players. Do not trade for a superstar. Please, Knicks. Please. Mr. Rose, your thoughts.
Family, let me teach you something. All trades and players in certain scenarios aren't created equal. And if you're a team like the New York Knicks, I want to ask you a straight out question. I like the young core that they have as it relates to being guys that have a chance to play a long time in this league. And depending on how RJ Barrett develops, he has all-star potential. Still need Knox to develop. You need Mitchell Robinson to continue to grow. He can be a lob guy that blocks shots. I know what you're talking about. However, Jacoby, you don't have a marquee name. And when you're playing on Broadway, that's what you need. That's what Russell Westbrook is going to give you. If I walked into a room right now and looked at all 15 of those players, I would say, I'd rather have Russell Westbrook than all of these guys.
Of course.
That's your starting over point. That's your opportunity to. If people are going to pay to come and watch him perform, I don't use this term a lot, Jacoby. In today's game, Russell Westbrook is a superstar. Let me say that again for you. He's a superstar. And he's going to be the kind of person that galvanizes the audience at MSG if he was playing for the team. And I know people remembering him playing in the playoffs last year, playing some four, playing some five, playing hurt, playing with Harden, playing off Harden. But when you put the ball in his hands in the Eastern Conference, he averaged a triple-double in the West with 20s and 15s and 15s. You put Russ in the East? Dog, if you don't want it, don't waste your time. I looked it up and down, said, I'll take her.
Jalen, we have some information. We have some information about who could be the coach of the Rockets. We have some information about the Dodgers' resurgence in the playoffs and much more. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
New York!
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams from Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
It's a new day on ESPN Radio with new voices that have big things to say. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
That's how you build a winning culture.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz.
You are like the Einstein of life.
Reading.
How ridiculously good was that?
The Max Kellerman Show.
Why not get out in front of it?
And Janae and Golic Jr.
I knew we were destined for greatness.
All day, every day.
Big names, new voices.
It is time to go to work.
Real talk. Weekdays on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and smart speakers everywhere.
Coming to you live from Pier 17 at the South Street Seaport and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, I have no idea why we do this, but every day we give you the steering wheel and you decide what we discuss in a segment that we call Keep It Moving.
Wu-Tang!
If you want to discuss the topic, say hit the brakes. If not, me and Method Man keep it moving. And we start with a resurgence from the Los Angeles Dodgers in the playoffs.
Keep
moving or hit the brakes. In the first inning, down 2-0 in the series, the Dodgers scored 11 runs in the first inning and ended up winning the game 15-3. Do you think they have a chance to even the series this evening?
Come on, Clayton Kershaw. Come on, Clayton Kershaw. They're going to need you. If the Dodgers are going to get this done, they're going to need you. And one thing I don't like to see is an unhappy Magic Johnson. He got a chance to get a ring with the Dodgers and the Lakers weeks apart. If Clayton Kershaw can find a way to be that postseason performer that has eluded them when they needed him the most, that is what's going to get them the World Series. Other than that, Atlanta going to get it done.
Kershaw had back spasms when he was slated to start last time. He is supposed to start on Saturday. Hopefully, they will get a win, because one thing I know is the Dodgers have been on the precipice of greatness year after year after year. After great regular seasons, they disappoint the playoffs, and I want this year to be different. They clearly are, to me, the best team in Major League Baseball, and I hope that they can come back and win this series. Moving on, we have some new information about who could be coaching the Houston Rockets. Keep moving or hit the brakes. Our colleague Jeff Van Gundy has met with the brass in Houston and could potentially be the head coach. What do you think about this potential fit?
I think something bigger about this fit, Jacoby, is that the next coach is not going to want to inherit Mike D'Antoni's style, which means playing James Harden with Russ. That's why the previous report about Russ was so very important. I believe Jeff Van Gundy would be an amazing coach in Houston because he follows that team closely. He lives in the area. And like Ty Lue, they both would challenge James Harden to do more than be a terrific, amazing isolation three-point shooter. I think they would challenge him to move without the ball, to get cuts, to get in three-on-two fast breaks, that type of thing. And so if they do hire Jeff Van Gundy, that's what I anticipate them doing, making a trade for Ruff.
I absolutely love Jeff Van Gundy. He's just one of the people that I've admired for so long, and I love what he does on the games. But if he gets hired, I don't see Jeff Van Gundy putting P.J. Tucker at center. Something tells me that if they hire Van Gundy, they will have a more traditional roster, which involves getting a big man and potentially, as you mentioned, trading Russell Westbrook. Moving on, the Pro Bowl has been canceled. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Oh, they still play the Pro Bowl? Since 1949, I didn't realize. Keep it moving.
We'll keep it moving.
We keep it moving.
We now are very close to an announcement of Conor McGregor's next fight. Hit the brakes on this one!
Hit the brakes!
Conor McGregor is very close to signing a deal to fight Dustin Poirier on January 23rd. And let me say this about this fight. Dustin Poirier is a bad man. They did fight before and Conor McGregor dominated him, but since then, he's beaten Gaethje, he went toe-to-toe with Khabib, and he is a real legitimate contender to fight Conor McGregor. This means that Conor McGregor is serious about his UFC career, and this is going to be a huge fight that he could potentially lose. And if he does lose, what happens to McGregor's career, Jalen?
It's going to take him for being a marquee name. I remember standing on the stage when he was about to fight Floyd, and once that fight happened, he endeared himself to the public. He did better than a lot of people assumed that he would, but more importantly, he got the biggest check of his career. Mm-hmm. And since then, he's been on a decline as a decision maker away from the octagon and not the same performer inside of it. So this fight, Jacoby, in a lot of ways is going to either define if he's able to get more mega fights, or now he's going to become just a fighter that we talked about didn't necessarily live up to everything we thought that he could.
One thing I do love about Conor McGregor is he takes the big fights. He takes tough opponents. He's not scared to step in and challenge himself. And that's exactly what he's doing with this potential fight, which I will definitely pay for no matter what the price tag is. Moving on, the Nets have unveiled some new uniforms. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Keep it moving for now. It's just uniforms.
We will keep it moving. We keep it moving. On those. And not only that, Jalen, when we come back, we have some very big news for college football fans. To find out what that is, make sure you stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams from Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
We have Lomachenko against Lopez Saturday night at 10 p.m. The lightweight world title unification belt is on the line. Make sure you tune into that Saturday at 10 p.m. on ESPN. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, Le'Veon Bell was freed from the Jets just this week. And now, his wish list is down to three teams that he would like to sign with, and that is the Dolphins, the Chiefs, or the Bills. What do you think is the best fit for Le'Veon Bell?
Oh, this is easy. This is easy. He just got 2 years of $28 million playing for the Jets and didn't rush for 100 yards in any one of those games. If he looked down at his phone and it's Andy Reid and or it's Patrick Mahomes calling him to come to KC, he need to get there. I know Clyde Edwards-Alaire is there, but Le'Veon Bell is a different style back. And also, you can line him up like a receiver as well. And since they got the best offensive coordinator in the NFL, he's going to deploy all of the weapons that he has, especially since Sammy Watkins is out for a few weeks with injury.
If Le'Veon Bell goes to the Chiefs, it's going to really expose just how bad of a head coach Adam Gase is, because you will see him be so productive with Bieniemy and Reed in KC. We'll stay tuned to see where he ends up going, but we have some bad news for college football. Coach of Alabama, Nick Saban, has tested positive for the coronavirus COVID-19. This comes in the wake of the Falcons shutting down their facility. This comes in the wake of Florida and LSU game being postponed. What do you think the implications are of this?
Nick Saban's been doing a good job of trying to stay safe. It's something that we can't avoid. Hopefully he gets well soon.
Absolutely. We will be back tomorrow at 2 on ESPN. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is recording podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. And Jalen, I don't know how our producer Demetrius found this tweet or whoever on the staff found it, but it's something that's very important to me. And it really just, it just exemplifies our relationship and your feelings towards this program. This is a tweet from a gentleman by the name of C. Heard. And he said, and I quote, "Jalen hairline never as sharp on Jalen and Jacoby as it is on NBA Countdown. Now, your countdown duties are over, okay? And I don't know why you treat the time that you spend on ESPN on Countdown so much more valuable than the time you spend on ESPN on Jalen and Jacoby. I've said this for a long time. We're not even the side piece. We are like the jump off of yours when it comes to how much you care about your appearance on television. You know we're on ESPN One now, right? You know we're on the prime spot right in the afternoon, right? But you never get a cut for this program specifically. Never. And whenever I know that Andy Authentic is in your crib, like I'm talking to you on the phone and I hear the buzzer, I know you got something else going on that day. You got some other appearance or some Gatorade commercial shoot or something. So now the countdown is over. Are you going to be fresh for Jalen and Jacoby?
I'm always fresh for Jalen and Jacoby. During basketball season, I have a triality. I really do. I have three shows that I was juggling. I was doing Get Up, that come on from 8 to 10, and then we come on at 2, and then the NBA games don't start, especially in the bubble, till 8 or 9. If I'm going to get a cut, I can't be getting it at 8 in the morning and think it's going to be crisp at midnight. So I had to pick and choose my battle. This was a unique 90 days. This is a unique period of time in my life where I was just trying to find a way to get through it. But here's the other part of that. And I'm going to create a social post about this. I understand. I've been in barbershop. I understand that everybody walking into every barbershop in the United States of America applauding and trying to figure out how to get a cut like mine. I'm all natural. If it took any time or energy, it would never happen, but I gotta harken back to my early Fab Five days. Can't get a fresh fade every day. You know, so I ain't about to be putting that pressure on myself to feel like, oh, I gotta have a crisp cut every single day. I'm on all of the time. I'm on all of the time. And give Reg the Ledge his flowers, y'all. Because no. I had never had a do-rag. I had never put anything in my head in any way, shape, or form. He brought me some African oils. You know what I'm saying? He brought me a brush. You know what I'm saying? He challenged me. He's like, dog, you in your 40s, dog. You still got your own hairline. You should go and do something with it. You know what I mean? I was like, all right, cool. And then I saw his spinning. You know Reg, he keep his Yankee fitted on. He took his do-rag off, Reg was spinning. And then I started, that was my competition. And since I ain't seen Reg in so long, I feel like my competition, you know, has been me. And so I understand why people get mad when I'm on J&J without a fresh cut. But like I said in the Fab Five doc, can't get a fade every day.
I know what it feels like. To all the jump offs, to all the side pieces out there, I know how you feel. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a side piece. I feel like this show is your jump off side piece. I feel like you're like, yeah, you know what? I know that me and NBA Countdown are married, but we don't sleep in the same bed. We're going to get separated soon. That's how I feel. Like, I feel like that's what you're saying to me, and I'm believing it. But you never once. And I see you go on Get Up, and you got a blazer on and a button up, and then we go do our show, and you in a Jalen Rose Leadership Academy hoodie. I'm like, he changed just to look worse for our show. I've seen it, dog, with my own eyes. I mean, he was just on TV, looking all fresh and so clean. And he bummy himself up just to come on our program. I've seen it.
We just got on ESPN like 6 months ago. All right, I'll step my game up. I'll step my game up. That's fair.
I feel like they didn't notice. I feel like the executives didn't even notice they put us on ESPN. Like, at some point, they'd be like, wait, they're on ESPN now? we put them on the main network? I thought this was ESPN News. Who did that?
Like, Jacoby got on happened. A round neck.
Yeah. This happened during the pandemic.
And some people would be like, why is he carrying a bat?
Yeah,
like, and somebody would be like, oh, he's been doing that
crazy,
for 10
man.
Years.
We put
J&J
on ESPN. Like, we got to fix that. Can we just another half hour of SportsCenter or something? Like, I hope they never notice. I hope they never notice. I swear, the executives just think they're watching ESPN 2 when they see us on ESPN. I swear. Big shout out to C. Heard for pointing out what I've always known, that Jalen don't really care about this program. He only cares about NBA Countdown and Maria Taylor and Paul Pierce and Jay Williams and Bill Wolf.
Big shout out, C. Heard.
Nick
Tuck. Appreciate the love. Amin Amin.
Right. Jalen, I don't know how I feel about this. Coming to America is a perfect film. It's a perfect film. It cannot be criticized. It cannot be improved upon. It is a perfect piece of American cinema. It's absolutely perfect.
Agreed.
And they're coming out with Coming to America 2. And as much as I love Coming to America, I just feel like it should just live on its own and be itself. Do you support Coming to America 2 on Amazon?
I definitely support it because it was a classic. And just like in music, a lot of times it takes so much to go into your first project. Blood, sweat, and tears, and years and years and years, and you finally get your first album, and then that's your classic, and ultimately that becomes the best one of your career. Same with movies and when they do sequels. I understand how you feel. However, but that movie was so classic and so funny, I'm pretty sure they can give us a modern day version and update the comedy and still make it hilarious. So I'm here for it.
We'll see. I just love Coming to America so much. I love it so much. And when you rewatch Coming to America, there's some stuff you forgot. There's some stuff you forgot. Like, my man was straight up getting a handy at the Knicks game. Like, it's like, yo. I was watching that scene. I was like, whoa. I don't remember this part. Like,
what about them MSG eating at McDowell's?
I swear I saw an actual McDowell's. I forgot where it was. I think it was in Brooklyn. And I was like, wait. Is that a real McDowell's? Like, is this really a thing? I really think it is. Big shout out to all the Kansas Fried Chickens in Brooklyn. Moving on.
I wanted that Hakeem life. It helped me work on my game. I wanted that Hakeem life.
You living the Hakeem life, dog. You living it.
Motivation.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of giving the people what they want is listening to the people. So right now, while you're listening to this podcast, push pause. Call what number, Jalen?
985-80-JALEN.
You call 985-80-JALEN right now. You leave us a message, and we will put the message on the program just like this. Hit it, Tommy.
Hey, what up, though? This is Billy from Chicago. I have a question for you guys. So my wife is 38 weeks pregnant, and so we're about to have our first baby soon. And so my question for you, as both of you who are fathers, when you were in the delivery room, did you stay below the equator and watch the baby come up, or did you stay above the equator and just stay right by your partner and make sure she was good? Would love to hear whatever advice you have, because I'm about to have this happen soon. Keep getting them checks. Bye.
All right, I got this one. Billy in Chicago, I got this one for you. Here's what you do, not just during the delivery, but basically for the first 3 years, you do whatever she says. That's not your decision. That's not my decision. It's whatever she wants. You're like the coach. You're on the sidelines just clapping and encouraging. Yeah, she's in the game, you know? So you do whatever she wants. Ask her in the moment exactly what she wants and do that. And I also, before you go, Jalen, I also want to say this. I said the same advice for people that are having a wedding or having a baby. Something is going to go wrong. It always does. It's not whether or not something goes wrong. It's how you deal with it. My first baby, my son Quincy, my wife was in labor for like 28 hours. Like we were in there forever. Like we were in there for over a day. Ended up having an emergency C-section. Things go wrong. It's not whether or not everything goes perfectly. It guarantees something goes wrong. It's about how you deal with it when it does. Billy, Jalen, your advice for young William in Chicago.
Terrific advice. Representing Chi-Town, 38 weeks, first baby. Congratulations to you and your better half. Jacoby is exactly right. Do whatever is going to make her happy. But ultimately, you said something that I just want to give you a mental distinction. You said that you wanted to make sure she's good. You're going to do that regardless. You're going to do that for the baby regardless. And you're going to be dividing your time as equal as possible between both from now on, because you're going to be responsible to lead and keep both happy. So congratulations, hoping for a safe birth. I was there for both of the birth of both of my kids. I was actually below the equator. And Gracie in particular, when she was born, my youngest, needed to go in like the ICU. She had some breathing issues when she was first born. And that is always a trying thing when, like Jacoby said, something can and will go wrong. Just those hours and period of time, just kind of looking through the window and wondering if she was gonna survive type of thing. It's always a unique way to welcome your child into the world. But you guys are gonna have a healthy pregnancy. Y'all gonna have a healthy birth. And you know, if you're looking for some names, Jalen and Jacoby are available.
Absolutely. Can we get a quick Mariah and Gracie update? Can I get a quick Mariah update?
Absolutely. So Mariah's killing them. She about to be like Maria Taylor, Taylor Rooks. Mm-hmm. She's already doing it. She's a junior at the University of Georgia. She got accepted into the sports broadcasting program. She gets straight A's and she's the bomb. My daughter Gracie's in ninth grade. She plays volleyball. She's a terrific student. She's remote learning. She's doing an amazing job in volleyball. She just got invited to be on the top team in Georgia, the 15 ones for her age. Wow. Group. I've gone to them, watched them play the Nationals the past 4 years. We finished in the Final Four the last few years. This is the year we need to bring home the championship. So the G in our family is for GOAT. It's for G Money. That's the star of the family. And she's going to be in the Olympics one day.
Big shout to Gracie and Mariah. We have time for one more voicemail. Tommy, hit us.
Jalen, Jacoby, what's up? This is Eric from Houston, Texas. Long time listener, show. I love you guys, man. So yeah, I got a soft move or boss move. So, you know, I look like Jalen and my wife looks like Jacoby. We recently just celebrated our 9-year wedding anniversary. We have 2 kids, 6 months and 17 months, boy and a girl. So, okay, soft move or boss move. Sleeping in separate beds, but in the same room, you know, each getting to sleep with one kid, you know, but also getting our own space. Like, we rarely sleep together. Let me know what you guys think. Keep getting checks. I love you guys. Peace.
All right, let me start with this one. Jalen, here's one thing I've learned. I've got 3 kids, twins that are 5, son that's 7, is I don't criticize how other families move. You know what I mean? Like, we do our thing our way. Other people do their thing their way. So it's always a boss move just getting through the day when you have little kids. You've got a 17-month-old and a 6-month-old. Whatever sleeping arrangement works for your family. There's no right or wrong way to do this. Some people co-sleep until the kid's like 10. Some people, like myself, don't want the kid in the bed. Whatever works for you and your family is perfect. Eric, my guy, I first of all sympathize for you because having a 17-month-old and a 6-month-old has got to be so difficult. That puts such a strain on a relationship, puts such a strain on a family having 2 little kids like that. My guy, you're going through it right now. It will get better. But I also want to say this. He does have 2 little kids, Jalen, but you can tell he's smoking. Eric, I might be wrong about this, but you sound high, my guy. You sound high. He started his voicemail like, ha, 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 ha. He didn't say anything yet. Tommy, can you play the front of that voicemail? Just play the first 5 seconds of the voicemail for me. Tell me this does not sound like a high individual.
Jalen, Jacoby, what's up? This is Eric from Houston, Texas. Long time.
Big shout out to Eric from Houston. Jalen, your advice for this young man with his young children.
I want to just modify something Jacoby said. I echo what he said, but I also just want to put a different thought in the atmosphere for you to consider. Don't let the kids take over the bed. I know. You hear the baby crying? I know. And you feel like the baby not going to live till the baby's 100 years old. Yes, the baby will. Baby be just fine. Baby's going to be just fine. That's one thing I'll say, because I don't see it as a positive sleeping with your mate less.
That's a good point. You know, I don't judge other families, but I got something going on.
I don't see that as a positive.
I need your advice on this. Jay, I need your advice on this. I need your advice on this. Your nephew Quincy wakes up every single day at like 4:45, 5 in the morning, comes into our room and wants to snuggle.
You should tell him to hit me. I'll be up.
He wants to snuggle every morning at 4:45, 5. I'm not ready to get up yet. I'm like a 6 a.m. riser. So what I've been doing recently is we have a queen-size bed, not a king-size bed. First world problems. So we don't really have room for the 3 of us. Quincy's getting big, man. So I get up out of the bed and go sleep on the couch between 5 and 6 in the morning. How do you think I should handle it when he comes in the room at 5 in the morning and I'm not ready to get up yet?
Oh, see, that's why I don't have a junior yet. See, this all makes sense now. Because he would not be doing that. Hey, dog, you about to go get on that couch. And I'm about to stay here with Mama Bear. That's not what is about to happen right now.
Not how it works.
Yeah,
you
it
can
do.
Tell him whatever you want.
Yeah, it do.
You know what?
Like you just said, like, no, dog. Let me finish. Mm. Like you said, everybody got their own way of doing this. I've heard people that look like you discipline their kids in a suburban grocery store. And what I was saying to my kids was vastly different. It was vastly different.
Well,
and I feel like I'll be the exact same way at 5 in the morning. Especially if I'm, dog, I get the big piece of chicken. I got to work. I got to pay the bills. I'm tired. 4 in the morning. Hey, dog, we going to work out a plan. I love you. You my man. 50. Yay, dog. When I was 13, 14, Jacoby, I was waking up taking my mother's car to go buy kerosene for the house to warm it up before she woke up, because I knew she had to leave and take me to the bus stop by 7 a.m. He'd be all right. He'd be good.
See, we tried this method. I'm like, yo, go back to sleep. It's too early. It's dark out. Go back to sleep. Put him down. 10 minutes later, he's back in the room. 10 minutes later, he's back in the room.
You said the key word. Method. something I want you to try.
Imagine some of the fun you might consider having with your significant other if he's not in the bed between 4 and 8 when you really want to wake up.
Yeah, you know what's not happening? There's no action happening at 5 in the morning. Unless we're still up from the night before, there's no action happening at 5 in the morning in bed.
Well, then that's why you getting up then. All right, well, you got a motive then. So don't act like you giving genuine advice. See, you're lying to the people. See, you hit his
rug. I'll never lie to the people.
See, if he was getting some action, no.
No action happened at 5 in the morning.
If you felt like it was an inkling of a chance for you to get some action, but nah, she been with you for almost 20 years. She done gave you 3 kids. You know her body, you know her mind, you know her feelings, and in your mind, the store is shut between 4 and 7.
Yeah.
So you like,
oh, yeah,
whatever. I'll go get coffee, I'll get on my text, I get on the internet. Q, you can have the bed, you can have the car, you can have the house.
Anything.
That's
let me
what
tell
I
you
hear
something.
From you.
I know my wife so well, I don't even like talking to her before like 8:30 in the morning. She's so mean in the morning. She's not a morning person. She's a completely different human being in the morning than she is the rest of the day. I don't even talk to her. I just leave her alone. Just eggshells all morning long. We appreciate the call, Eric. We appreciate the call, Billy. Remember, if you're listening to this podcast, call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a question. Leave us a voicemail for tomorrow. Jalen has one final point that he wants to make.
And I got to tell you something that's real therapeutic for the pod, and I want people to draw strength off of this. When you asked me about my kids, I mentioned Mariah, my oldest daughter, and Gracie, my youngest. A lot of people may or may not know, when I first met their mom, she had a 7-year-old son named Ladarius, who was born in 1991. And there have been times we hadn't seen eye to eye because he was put in a position to play a father figure role and a big brother role at the same time. And if I'm not with his mom and I live in a different state, anybody can understand how that dynamic can put a strain on a relationship. And so while there has been some turbulence there, as a family, I can actually acknowledge that I'm really fortunate that everybody is seeing eye to eye and pulling in the same direction for the same goals at the same time. And it's refreshing to be able to say that because there's so many times I sat here and did the show and we were not seeing eye to eye. So as somebody that never met his biological father, for everybody out there that you may have a family member that it's worth fixing it with. And I can't front. There are some family members and friends that ain't worth fixing it with. So I ain't saying that each relationship is gonna work out like this, but I'm just happy to acknowledge that we back 1,000 and seeing eye to eye.
I appreciate that. Big shout out Mariah, Gracie, and Ladarius. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done. Got to give the people.